said, my name is Elliot, but also like a typical Zulu, not just one name, but many names. I am Elliot Bafana Mangunga Jablani Sonjit. I don't know if you heard about the praise name. I have a praise name. Not praise names, but praise name. My praise name is Skuqubala Esikhulu Esadla Amagusha Kabhaca Sathi Sivuka Sadla Abantwana Bakwancwane. Unfortunately, you can't translate that into the language that some of the people might hear and understand. It will lose the meaning of the whole thing. We'd rather keep it in that way. Thank you so much, Rory. Thank you so much to the eldership for inviting us to be here this morning. We count this as a blessing, and we've been working together. I'm also so blessed to have a brother like Rory, as he said, you know. And it's a huge blessing, really, to us to be invited to come and stand here. We just want to say thank you. Thank you so much. And again, to be among these beautiful people here, I want to say thank you. And, well, English, as you know, is not my language. There's a verse in the Bible that says, if you don't understand when some people are praying or saying things, then you pray to God for the interpretation. So if I switch, I don't even have to switch. It just happens sometimes. You know, when something is deep in your blood, it just happens. And then because this language is not mine, the other language will just kick in. And when it does that, you just say, Lord, please give us interpretation. Seven people, one Savior. Let's turn to the book of Luke, please. I will be speaking from, because whenever I prepare, I've got all these translations in front of me. Sometimes it will be hard to say in that translation or in that one, but be aware that it might not be like your Bible, because whenever I prepare, I have all these translations in front of me, trying to understand what I'm reading. So that's why I bring all these translations. Book of Luke chapter 23, we'll read verse 39 up to verse 43. Book of Luke chapter 23, verse 39 to 43. I am reading. One of the criminals hanging alongside cursed him, "Some Messiah you are, save yourself, save us." But the other one made him shut up. "Have you not fear of God? You're getting the same as him. We deserve this, but not him. He did nothing to deserve this." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom." He said, "Don't worry, I will. Today, you'll join me in paradise." Beautiful scripture. Out from the scripture that we read, we can have so many subtitles all around that, because it's a beautiful passage when Jesus is hanging on the tree, on the cross, with these two other guys. This morning, I just wanted those few words says, "Remember me." Just want to focus on that. We must also remember that the cross is a place of shame. The cross is a place of pain. The cross is a place of embarrassment. And the cross is a place of tears. And the cross is a place of sadness. Many people who went to the cross Whenever those that are around them look at them, they could see sadness on their faces because of the pain and embarrassment and everything that is happening at that time, being nailed on the cross. But not with the cross of Jesus Christ, because it speaks something different or opposite to what we hear when we explain. It's a different language altogether when we speak about the cross. It's a place where people gather to meet. I mean, look in my life and look what we had this morning. And coming from the village, and then there's Rory, and he didn't grow up in the village. And now, because of the cross, we met and we become friends. The cross is a place of Jesus Christ where everything is the same level, and we arrive there needing help and said yes to Jesus, and he says, now you become my family. And I count it as a blessing to have friends and brothers just because of the cross of Jesus Christ. We also have to remember that the cross does remove sin. In the book of Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, when they talk about Jesus being born, he will save his people from their sins. In the book of John chapter 1, verse 29, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So it happened because of the cross. Friends, God is not angry with you. God loves all of us. The only thing that it is that we understand and come to the cross. Most of the things that happen in our lives, when they happen outside of the cross, then it becomes our own burdens that we continue to carry. Meanwhile, at the cross, we lay down everything. Ma'am, say, you don't have to carry that grief. You don't have to carry that pain. You don't have to carry the sadness. You don't have to carry whatever that disturbs you in your life. Lay down at the cross and say, remember me. The thief on the cross said to the other one, don't you fear God? Don't you fear God? Even when you are dying. When I read this passage and I come to the other thief, they're talking to each other. The other one is rebuking the other. Hey, don't you fear God even when you are dying? For me, I know there might be some theologians here and Bible scholars, but for me, when I read something like that, it causes me to think as if this guy, I think he had something of God in him, but he didn't live the life. We have too many people that can correct other people when they do different things that they are not supposed to do, and correct them biblically, but themselves are not in the right position or condition with God, but very good on correcting. Don't you fear God? It seems as if he knew that something this guy was saying was wrong. There are some that grew up in the Sunday school and they used to hear some of the verses and stories that were being told to them. But along the way, you find that they're no longer living the same life that they were taught when they were small. When they face challenges, that seed which was planted way back can come and rebuke other people. Don't you fear God? Maybe he used to be part of the church, I don't know. Maybe his parents, they taught him the word of God and they taught him how to pray and honor God. Maybe he once served God. Maybe he was one of those people that really love the things of God. But in the long run, as we know, this path and this journey seems to be longer than what we have ever thought. And we find that we keep on. Friends, let me say, from 1970, when I said yes, I thought I was going to die within the few years and just go to heaven. But it didn't happen. Many know the word of God and can quote the word of God, but it doesn't mean that they have a relationship with Jesus. And many, they even come to church. Many will bring their tithes and offering, but it doesn't mean that they know and they have the relationship with God. Many can even tell you how to preach, like this guy. So many guys, they can tell you how to, yeah, you shouldn't preach this way, you should preach this other way. Many can even advise you how to lead a church, but themselves don't have the relationship with God. See, this other guy talking to him says, you know, we're being hung here because of what we did. He knew that he has done something wrong, and his other friend has done something wrong. But he said, this man here, he's done nothing wrong. We can speculate, you know, that perhaps this guy was exposed to the gospel somehow, as most of us, you know, South Africa is known as a Christian country. There's gospel all over. You go to the townships, to the villages, to the cities and towns, you find people, they know something about God. And some, you go to the villages and the townships, you just start a chorus and everyone just knows it and just gets into it and just sing because they've been exposed. Maybe the same person was exposed to the gospel. But being exposed to the gospel is not good enough. I had a picture as I was preparing that if you feel something God is doing in your life this morning, don't hesitate and wait until the end of the meeting. I just love what I saw there. While we're worshiping God and people are being baptized, I just love that. When you read about Jesus, how when he was preaching he was interrupted so many times. So many times. I had a picture that if God is doing something and is challenging you somehow, perhaps you're here this morning and you know that you know the scriptures, you know the songs, you know everything that is happening, but never had the personal relationship with him. Don't wait till the end of the meeting. We say in Zulu, come and get your things. Come and fix your life with God. Just walk boldly and said, I'm coming, I'm grabbing what is mine, because I don't want to be known as a person who has knowledge but no life deep down in the heart. When you are wrong, you have to admit that you are wrong. And to admit it's not good enough. We're very good in passing the buck. Do you say that in English?
Yeah, they shoot the buck.
You know, we find someone in trouble and say, why are you doing what you're doing? Let me make an example. Perhaps someone is divorcing his wife, or the wife is divorcing the husband. Why? And then he starts. Most of these people, they've got long stories. It's never a short story. It's always a long story. I've been serving God for many years. I've never met a person when he has done something wrong and he just said, you know what, Elliot, it's my fault. A person will say, and then they start, you know when someone starts, I did this because of her, and then they blame. Friends, The grace of God is ever waiting for people to say, you know what, I'm wrong. I'm getting what I deserve. Was it Don Francisco, you know, that musician? Says everyone is an expert in passing the buck. We don't have to blame even our government. Do you know that? Even our government, we don't have to blame our government. You don't have to blame your wife. You don't have to blame your husband. You don't have to blame your children. You don't have to blame your parents. You don't have to blame the church for everything that happens in this life. But you have to say, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me. Have mercy on me. He then said, remember me when you come to your kingdom. Remember me. Which is a prayer. Remember me. It seems as if this person had no many words to say. He just said, remember me. From that, it's a cry that is deep. You know, when you're in trouble, you don't have enough strength and power and energy to keep on saying, Lord Jesus, I know you are the Savior, the Redeemer. And I know you died for me. You don't have that time to say all those things. I know your word. You don't have that time. Just the cry said, remember me. It's good enough. It's good enough. Remember me. I know my situation needs some powers beyond what I have. I know my situation needs something bigger than what I have. Remember me. Friends, I'm inviting everyone in our country, South Africa, here in Pretoria, to have that cry for our children, for our marriages, and for our churches that are no longer, some of them, preaching the good news, but they're preaching some of the ideas and preferences of people. That God, would you remember us? To go back and preach the gospel as the gospel, not what people prefer and like. Remember me. Are you the mother that is crying for your children? Perhaps this is the day, friends, to say, Jesus, remember me. Remember me. Is your husband troublesome? Or you've been talking about some other things, and I feel there's a man here who needs deliverance this morning to be delivered. In fact, he needs that boldness, boldness. I don't know how many people were there around the cross when this criminal says, Jesus, remember me. I don't think he was just whispering. You know, when you're desperate, you don't care what happens. Who hears you? Perhaps you should be standing up and say, I know my problem. I know I've been trying this thing and I need to be delivered by Jesus. And just walk bold and come perhaps and kneel here and say, remember me. I have this thing in my body. Remember me. I have this high habit. Remember me. I have this cry deep in me. Remember me, oh God. In the book of Psalm 50, verse 7 to verse 15. Are you listening, dear people? I'm getting ready to speak, Israel. I'm about ready to bring you to trial. This is God, your God, speaking to you. I don't find fault with your acts of worship, the frequent burnt sacrifices you offer, but why should I want your blue ribbon bull or more and more goats from your head? Every creature in the forest is mine. The wild animals on all the mountains, I know every mountain bird by name. The scampering field mice are my friends. If I get hungry, do you think I'll tell you? All creation and its bounty are mine. Do you think I feast on venison or drink draughts of goat's blood? Spread for me a banquet of praise. Serve high God and feast on of kept promises and call for help when you are in trouble. Call for help when we are in trouble. Is anyone in trouble this morning? Call for help. Remember me. Remember me. He knew, this man, that the cross is not the end. You know, when you're right there. Because he says, remember me in your kingdom. He knew there was a kingdom. He knew the man he was talking to was a king. Says, Lord Jesus, remember me in your kingdom. This man, perhaps he was being reminded some of the teachings that happened way back in his life. That death, when he dies on the cross, is just a gate to another kingdom, to another world, to another life. I think to the real life that people should be striving for. He knew Jesus has all the powers. And he knew that he had to submit and become the subject of this great king. That even at death, he could trust him. Even at death, he can trust him. He's crucified with him. But he says, I know, remember me. I know you're going to die, but there's resurrection. Remember me. Big difference between knowing and living. Friends, Jesus is our passport to the next level when we pass on in this life. How is the date on that passport? Have you checked it on yours? Have you checked it? Not expired? Is there a visa there in the passport? And the only person who knows that is you. Because you go there. Don't be like my other friend. He was traveling to Zambia. And they came to Bybridge. And on the South African side, then they stepped their passport. And then the Zimbabwean side, they said, hey, man, this is not your passport. It's your wife's passport. Go back. While he was coming back now, he took a wrong passport. While he was coming, he phones me. He said, do you know anyone in Messina, Louis Trichard? I said, yes, I've got these friends of mine in Australia. And then as he was coming back, the officer that saw him, he says, what's wrong? He says, no, it's a wrong passport. He said, but we stamped it. He said, yes, you stamped it, but it's a wrong passport. So they had to make plans. Friends, once you're gone and it's a wrong passport about this kingdom, there's no returning. You go to the other side. It's better to check it. And it's so easy to check it. Because it's not far away. It's not hidden in a suitcase or somewhere or in your safe. But it's just when you close your eyes, expired deep down in your heart. And friends, when this passport, when you know that you need help, you have to be bold, as I was saying, be bold. Have you driven an old car? Skorokoro? Have you driven an old car? And the gate doesn't work, it's showing you petrol is full or empty. And while you're driving an advertisement, door, 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 door. Hey, what happened? You check, no petrol. And most people that drive those cars, the old cars, Skorokoro, they always carry a 5-liter container in the car. And once the petrol is finished, you can't drive, you can't do anything. I'm encouraging, step out and take that container. They're going to see you. The thousands of the people are going to be passing. And then, Be bold. Stand there. Stand there. Stand there. Stand there. Say the finish. Finish. It doesn't matter who laughs at you, but when you know I don't have, I need Jesus. I need help. It doesn't matter. Stand, come out from that car. Come out from that box. Come out from that those friends that have boxed you. And come out from the name. I don't know, in Pretoria, there's a name that if you're so-and-so, then your name is going to be there. Come out from that and said, you know what? I don't have. I don't have. I know about Jesus. I've heard about Jesus. But the personal relationship with him is not there. Or it was there, which is the past tense. It was is no longer there. I can't even hear him when he speak. Come out. Your can is right there. Come out with your 5 liter. And said, you know what? I need help. Because I need to cry for myself. Said, Lord, remember me. Remember my children. Remember my province. Remember my church. Remember my city. Remember my country. Remember me, my friends, everyone. Remember me, Lord. I'm coming out. I'm taking the boldness. I want to be bold enough. And said, Lord, remember me. If you don't mind, I would love to pray for those that says, Lord, I want you to remember me. This is another person. 7 men and 1 Savior. Saving him on the cross. Saving him. And he's still in the business of welcoming people in. When they cry to him. When they cry to him. Don't allow those liars when they say tigers don't cry. You're not a tiger. Cry to him. Cry to him. His grace is sufficient. And his hands are there to fill up for the journey. It's a long way.